Testing, 1, 2. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. Well, it may be great, it may not be, but anyway, we hear it. So I'd like to begin my talk. You guys know I love telling stories. So I want to begin my talk with a parable. The parable of the physician's sons. The parable tells of a doctor renowned for his knowledge and skill with medicine. This doctor has many children, and once when he has to go away to attend to some matters, in his absence, the children drank some of his poisonous medicine. As the poison began to work, they threw themselves on the ground in agony. Now, at this point, the doctor comes home. Some of the children are not so badly affected, but some are completely out of their minds. Still, they are all overjoyed to see their father again. They welcome him home, tell him how foolish they have been, and beg him to cure them and save their lives. The doctor at once sees their state and sets about compounding curative herbs of pleasing color, taste, and smell. He gives his children the medicine he has compounded. Now, this is interesting. The children who are not so badly affected and have not lost their senses take the medicine and are immediately cured. But the ones in whom the poison has worked deeply will not take this very medicine they have begged for. Being out of their minds, they do not like the color and smell and will not take it. The doctor sees that he must take extreme measures if his children are to be saved. For the poison has completely overcome their senses. He then gathers the children together and tells them he is getting on in years and must soon die. Still, he has affairs to attend to and must go away again. He will leave the medicine he has prepared for them and urge them to take it. With this, he sets out and has not been gone long before he sends a servant back with word that he has died. The children are shocked and thrown into a sorrow at this news. For the first time, they keenly feel their desolation, and the shock returns their senses. The medicine this father has left now seems pleasant to look at and smell. They swallow it down and are promptly cured. At this point, the father they have all thought to be dead comes home alive and well. So who do you think the doctor is in this parable? The teacher?
Yeah.
Oh, me?
Yeah, the Buddha.
Thank you. So the doctor in this parable is the children, is the Buddha. Who are the children?
We are.
We are. We are. What about the poison?
Everyday life.
Ah. How about various desires? See? And the good medicine is what? Yeah, teachings of the Buddha, the Dharma. We've said it more than once. The Buddha's teaching provides us with an insightful paradigm for transformation enunciated in the doctrine or doctrines summed up as the 12 causes, the Four Noble Truths, the Eightfold Path, and the Six Perfections. And history tells us that throughout these teachings, many, many were able to set aside delusion and attain a peaceful state of mind. Now, unfortunately, for many of us, the stressful life we live, the materialistic preoccupation we have, and the education we receive seldom gives us the freedom to understand our intrinsic nature. Which is what? Boundless. It's not limited to this skin bag. It's not limited to who we think we are. We need these teachings more than ever at this particular point in time in the history, in our history, with all the divisiveness that we come in contact with every day. We need these teachings to show us the potential that lies hidden within our normal distress, neurotic, and busy minds. I've said it so many times here that I know you can say, oh, we heard that before, Sensei. But we have to have something to rub up against. See? We have to. Because without that, how do we liberate ourselves? See? This is up. This is down. If we didn't have this, we couldn't have that which transcends up and down. Do you see? When we begin to explore through sitting, we inevitably encounter the wild and uncontrollable aspects of our habitual mind. But with skillful practice, upaya, we begin to recognize that the mind has an undercurrent of clarity and luminosity. To awaken this innate clarity is to expand our ground of being into a state free of much of the emotional, psychological distress that comes from our constricted, dysfunctional self-identity. What is the state I'm talking about when we transcend all of this craziness? Buddha nature? Some call it awakened potential. How many times have I said, probably a lot, that we're all whole, perfect, and complete? Our nature is primordially pure. I would encourage you guys to make a mantra out of that. There are a number of metaphors in Buddhist writings for the presence of Buddha nature. It is like a golden statue wrapped in filthy rags, a jewel buried beneath the house of a pauper, honey surrounded by a swarm of bees, a seed contained within rotting fruit. Ooh, I don't like that one. Gold buried in mud. The Buddha taught the truth of cessation before the truth of the path, because without some insight into the possibility of liberation, there would be little incentive to travel the path. So you can see that a vision of the goal is therefore an important part of the Buddhist journey. One master used a phrase translated as goal sustained refuge to convey the way in which a vision of the goal generates the faith and inspiration to go forward. Once we experience this refuge, our life direction changes radically, turning increasingly from unsatisfactory worldly refuge and as such, strength of purpose becomes reinforced by the experience of renewed reminders of that vision. And what is that vision? Wholeness. The vision of our innate potential is conveyed in metaphors that are used to describe its nature. The supreme ambrosia that overcomes death. The inexhaustible treasure, the supreme medicine, the tree that shelters all, the universal bridge, the dawning moon, and the great sun. This treasure can be understood as the healing vitality that is released from the depth of our psyche when we are in touch with our sense of wholeness. We must constantly remind ourselves that the goal of the vision is not something outside of us, that it is reachable. It is our own true nature, the nature we can easily lose sight of in our complicated, high pressure, and often destructive materialistic culture. I know that was a mouthful, right? You may recall the tale of the tortoise and fish. The tortoise told his friend the fish that he had just returned to the lake after a walk on the land. Of course, the fish said, "You mean swimming." The tortoise tried to explain that one could not swim to land, that it was solid, and that one walked on it. But the fish insisted that there could be nothing like it, that it must be liquid like his lake. with waves, and that one must be able to dive and swim there. The absolute truth or ultimate reality is beyond words, yet it can be realized. Words are symbols representing things and ideas known to us, and as such cannot convey the experience of our true nature, just as the fish has no words in its vocabulary to express the nature of the solid land. This reminds me of Moomin's verse to case 12, I think in the Moomin Con. Zwiegen calls his master. The verse is as followed. Clinging to the deluded way of consciousness, students of the way do not realize the truth. The seed of birth and death throw endless eons. The fools call it the true original self. And lastly, I want to leave you with something to chew on. A summary of the Buddhist teachings, which says it all. Suffering above exists, none who suffer. The deed there is, but no deer thereof. Nirvana is, but no one seeking. The path there is, but none who travels it.
Engine being fired.